Last minute realized that I was leading this morning. Kind of panicked. And I realized I needed to throw everything together in a hurry. I started looking for a verse to help me to just relax and trust God to take care of it all. 1 John 5:14 was what I found. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And he did that and more. He let me work, get lots done last night, and help me to trust him and know that just because my singing and my leading isn't what I would like and perfect in my eyes, is what he wants for us. Let's pray and worship together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear what Brad has to speak to us today. And I pray that you'd help us to worship together and to reflect on these songs. I pray that you'd bless this day and this week. In Jesus' name.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorn on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out for all for love. The whole earth trembled at veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the ransom for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Thank you very much. That was excellent, and thank you for leading us in worship today. At this point in time, we're going to try something new. Hopefully, everybody's okay with that. Tracy's actually going to come up and share a story with the little ones, the kids, and unfortunately, these can still have to kind of stay in their seat. We'd love for them to crowd around for the story, but they kind of have to stay in their seats. for this, and it's also for people watching online. We have a little kids thing, see how it goes. Kind of tough, I guess, for parents and for kids kind of in this situation right now, so we want to uplift them and try and give them something to be blessed with. Also, if you decide that you want to maybe read a story to the kids one Sunday, let us know. We would love to have you read one and share with our little kidlets. Tracy, come on up. Thank you. Oh, I guess we need... Thank you, Tracy. I just want to reiterate that we are very blessed to have our children with us. And like I say, I know this is difficult for both parents and children. I just want you to be uplifted during this time and not, you know, sometimes we can throw a careless glance in their direction when a noise is made or something like that. But just we want to be loving towards everybody that's here and just know that they're appreciated regardless of whether they're 2 or 82. We're just very thankful that we have this congregation to love one another. Thank you very much. One thing we're going to pray and uplift is this upcoming week. Brad is starting his grief share on October 7th at 7 p.m. That'll be at his house. If you need further information, you can contact us here at the church, or you can contact Brad himself, and he'll have some information for you. I'll be honest, if you contact me at the church, I'll just redirect you to Brad. So it's probably best just to call him. So that's going to be exciting. We want to uplift that in prayer, uplift the leadership team there, and uplift the people that are going to go and kind of head down a really tough journey, a really tough road, with that stuff. So keep lifting them up in prayer. Anyone else have any stuff we can bring forward in praise and prayer as a church family? Yes, Irvin. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Mel Moline's shoulder. He'd been waiting on that for a while, hadn't he? Yeah, that's what I thought. So he's finally getting his shoulder reparated, hopefully. We'll pray for that. Pray for the doctors that are going to be with Mel during his surgery. Lucas, all right, the birth of Lucas. That's excellent. And like, I know everybody likes the weight question. Do we have like a weight? 7-11. 7-11, huh? It's an excellent number. 7-11. That's fantastic. We'll definitely uplift Lucas and Kylie. Yes. Okay. Okay. Definitely we'll pray for Russell and his journey right now, his battle. No, you were not.
My brother's still alive, barely, but it's been up and down area, and it's been a really hard time for the family. So they're coming actually to my house about 10:45, and so they're going to start planning everything, but they need help, so they're coming up from right here.
Okay.
So thank you for praying.
Absolutely. Fair enough. So also for energy. Definitely. So we'll pray for energy for Grandma Ruth and for Alan and the family, and that it'll be a peaceful passing here for Alan, and that he just goes and sees his Savior at this time. Yeah, thank you. And we did pray for you last week, even though you weren't here, and we praised for the reunion you went to, the 60th reunion. Thank you. Excellent. Well, let's take these to prayer then, and seek out God in the workings of all of this. Father, we come here today and we uplift you and we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity to be a church family and just think of all the amazing things that you do in our life. Our words can't even express what you mean to us, what you do for us, and you just continue to pour your grace and your bounty upon us. So, Father, we pray a blessing upon this church, that you would continue to be with us, that you'd continue to walk with us, and you would journey with us, and you would continue to bring your Holy Spirit amongst us, that we would fellowship in unity and love and in grace and be a people who devote ourselves to teaching others about you and sharing about you with those in our neighborhoods. Today, Father, we pray for some healings, not necessarily within our church family. For some of them, it's in our church family, but for just healings in some fashion. We want to uplift Mel Moline as he's going for surgery on his shoulder, Lord Jesus. We pray that you're with him and you're with the doctor, as I know even small procedures can be unnerving for people who go for surgeries. At least they are for me. So I just pray for Mel that you comfort him during this time, and for Mary Ellen as well, as I'm sure she'll have to aid in helping him with a lot of different things with the shoulder being out of commission. So we just pray for your hand upon him. Bless them during this time. Give them energy. Give them healing. And be with them as they walk this road with you, Lord. And we also want to pray for Russell. And Father, we uplift him to you right now. We pray for him as he's in isolation, as his buildup of fluids is occurring in his body. Father, place your healing hands upon him. Cure him of this infection or whatever happens to be in his body, Lord. Heal him in this time, we pray. We pray for his family as they just see the suffering of Russell, and we just pray for comfort upon a family, and that you would be a blessing to him during this time. Be their counselor. And Father, we want to lift up Alan to you as well, a faithful servant of yours, Lord Jesus. And he knows exactly what's happening at this moment, and he knows he's going home. And so we just pray for his family right now as they're about to gather with Grandma Ruth, and we just pray that during this time that you would comfort them, that you'd give them clear clarity as to how to carry out blessing their father or uncle or whatever Alan is to them. That you would make it a moment where, yes, Alan is remembered and he's lifted up, but more so than that, that Alan would want your name, Jesus, to be lifted up during his farewell. Just be with the family. Uphold them. We thank you for that, Father. And we want to pray for a precious new life coming into this world. As Lucas was born to Kylie, 7 pounds, 11 ounces, and that is, by all accounts, clearly a healthy young boy, and we're just so thankful for that. We continue to pray for Lucas, that he would grow to be healthy and just full of energy and zeal for you, Lord. We pray that you continue to heal mom, as delivering a child is never easy. There's always some sort of after effects. So we just pray that you walk with her during this time as well. Give her energy, restore her energy. And for our church, Lord, we continue to pray for our people. We pray for grief sharers. That's coming up on the horizon here. And we pray that your hand gently guides the people that need to be there to go to grief share. We pray that it's a time of healing. It's a time of outreach and evangelism, as people who don't know you, Jesus, can come to know your name during this time, even during the hard journey that it's going to be. We pray for the leadership, as Brad's going to lead with passion and with his heart, and he's going to lead out of woundings himself, Lord Jesus. We pray that he allows himself to be vulnerable during this time and allows himself to show the hurt that he's going through as well. But at the same time, we just pray that you comfort Brad. We love him so much. Thank you for the blessing that Brad is to us, to this church, to the selfish, like our family kind of aspect. And we thank you for his wisdom. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So there's some days that, I'm not going to lie to you, it's a little bit of a trudge to kind of work through a sermon and come to a place of being comfortable with presenting something to you. And I don't know if I ever really got with that today. It was a bit of a struggle with this one. And so I don't want to apologize, but just know that it was quite the journey to get to where I'm at today with this message. Anyways, moving on from there, I pray that it can be a blessing to who needs to hear it today and that your hearts would be impacted by the message. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1 and read to verse 18. So this is just coming off of Cornelius and Peter's interaction. I talked a bit about that last week, actually through the whole sermon last week. And just what went down there as a new kind of thing occurred within the early church. And so we're starting here in verse 1, as it says this, "The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them.'" Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This morning, we just read about an encounter in a church where it becomes critical of its leader, as Peter gets into trouble for fellowshipping with the wrong people. The sad part is that this is still common even in our churches today. And this is something I find quite odd. People will come to learn something from the speaker, from the pastor, but if the research of Scripture does not line up with their understanding of Scripture, it becomes a place where anger finds root in the church, and that anger leads to disunity. A dated reference for you, but when this thing called an overhead projector was brought into the church, it created quite the uproar. It created a time for vicious criticisms directed towards church and its leadership. An overhead projector. Clearly, an overhead projector is not going to affect someone's salvation, yet it was still a point of contention. Peter is facing this kind of criticism in Acts chapter 11. This criticism is for an act that he carried out that did not align with the church at the time. Luke wrote about Peter's vision three times in Acts chapter 10 and 11. But I want to remind you today that this was not just an important moment for Luke in the early church. It was important to God as well. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Holy Spirit is working and inspiring the authors of these biblical books. So a repetition of three times in the book of Acts means this is important to God as well. God telling us something once means we should listen. Him telling us something twice, well, we might have to turn more focus on what he's saying. And a third time he tells us, you better go above and beyond and observe and understand where God is leading you and what he is trying to tell you. If you remember last week, I pointed out this thing that was asked of Peter. Is he's sent to Cornelius' house, and it was a big deal. This is huge in this moment. We saw how it goes against the law and how it would have left Peter just open to criticism and, as we see here in Acts 11, and just judgment. And in Acts 11, we see how serious this event actually was. We probably, like I say, when we read over some of our scripture, we don't dig deep and see the punishment that could possibly follow some of their actions. Understand this. In this passage, if the Gentiles had not been received into the church as they were that day, that is, Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ without first becoming Jews, the church, it would not have had the missional force that it did, nor that it has today. It would have been this little ethnic community that gathered together if men and women were required to convert to Judaism first. It sounds kind of confusing, doesn't it? You have to convert to Judaism and then convert to Christianity. This is really what these kind of critics of Peter wanted in this early church. And so the Christian church, it would have been so different in this moment. Can you imagine if you walked in this door and you had to convert to Judaism and then convert to Christianity after that? This would be a completely different looking church. And it's after these chapters that women and men, they become members of God's family by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jews and Gentiles is the new church would fellowship side by side, and they would eat side by side as well. Jews were worshiping together with people who did not become Jews first, but people that were like-minded in their belief of Jesus Christ. A change of this magnitude is something our church has never faced. Our churches have never faced anything like that. Yes, we've had some changes in the past, and some of you will recall these Sunday evening services. Remember when those were the thing? Do you remember Sunday school before church? At least for adults, you know. Well, sometimes they still have kids Sunday school before church. Do you remember dressing up for church? Some of you see my get up, and you're like, wow, that's very colorful and bright. But do you remember when, like, the tie was pretty much a requirement? Do you remember special musical numbers in the service? Do you remember all those changes? And they're actually not all tied to Scripture. Now, a quick side note. In talking about change, in talking about kind of potential change, If you've ever paid attention to our board minutes, you will know that our board has been discussing this idea of women as elders for some time now. 2 to 3 years, I think. And so I just want to prepare you for some messages that are about to come about from up front here that are going to talk about women in leadership and the biblical perspective on that. We're going to hear about what the district has to say about that and why it may be a good thing for our church to have that. And trust me, this can be a very divisive discussion. There are two very different sides to this, but we need to approach this discussion out of love. We need to approach this discussion in grace, and we need to approach it biblically. It's a tough change, potentially, for some. It's a hard issue, even though on a personal level, each one of us will have a stance on it. It's very cut and dry, and that's it. But there are some who will be truly hurt by a change like this, just like they were truly hurt by having an overhead projector present. We cannot allow those moments to become a source of division. We see in Acts 10 to 11 how this was handled by the church after Peter, who was led by the Holy Spirit, demonstrates why the change for the early church was necessary. They show that the church is one and unified, even though some would feel awful and that it went against Scripture to be worshiping amongst Gentiles and to be accepting Gentiles as one of them. They are a church. They unified in worship together, even though they had these differences of theologies and differences of upbringings. What an example for us. What an example they show, as at times we can get so divisive and angry over theology, over Scripture. And we have this denominationalism at times that we battle with as well. So that's just a preparation I want you all to just think about and pray about. Maybe do some reading the Scripture for yourself about it and be prepared to hear what's kind of going on with women in leadership. Anyways, back to this early church and how they came together in such a unified fashion. E.M. Blakelock, he writes of this early church and what it was facing by saying, "It required a major readjustment of all thinking people, fiercely conscious of racial privilege and stirred anew by the thought that the Messiah of promise had appeared and spoken, readily it abandoned the thought that a unique national destiny approached fulfillment. To accept a reinterpretation of ancient prophecies, to admit spiritual rendering of old promises, accepted and cherished as literal and material, to see Israel melt into the church and the minority of the chosen lose identity and privilege and special place in a global organization called for insight, faith, self-abnegation, magnanimity, and a transcendent view of God rarely found in any but the most enlightened souls. The terms by which the Gentiles were to become Christians required an adjustment, and it needed to be addressed by the early church. They couldn't just leave it alone because it was going to create problems if they didn't. We read that in this case, the Holy Spirit worked through Peter to forcefully and directly address his criticizers. Peter, he had arrived in Jerusalem, and immediately the circumcised believers were critical of his ministry. Let me tell you, this actually, it hurts pretty bad when it happens. When people are viciously critical towards you. These circumcised believers, they had heard what had happened in Caesarea. They grumbled against Peter. Think about that. They're grumbling against the apostle Peter. "Upon this rock I will build my church." They're grumbling against him. And we read this in Acts 11:3, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them." Sounds pretty petty, doesn't it? Their major concern in this is really this concept of Gentiles becoming Christians without abiding by the law of Moses. And they're like, it stinks that Peter ate with them, and it's awful, but it's even worse that he's allowing them to become a part of the church. Because there's a deeper message behind that. Peter ate with these people, and because he ate with these people, he opened the door to these people eating with the rest of the church family. He made them equals. That's the whole loss of identity that I just read about earlier. If you have been told your entire life that you're a chosen people, you expect to be treated like a chosen person, not as an equal. So this has to be their mindsets. And we don't face this disagreement in our church, but we still have stuff like it. Charismatics in a reserved church, they tend to stand out, as does a reserved person in a charismatic church. Both groups are expecting the outsider to behave as they do, or to worship as they do, or to even have the same theology as them. The thing about that is, in the end, it doesn't matter, as God takes people as they are. People do not have to become something else before they come to Jesus. If someone started running around our church here with flags and waving stuff and speaking tongues, I would check scripture and be like, hallelujah, let's run around with flags and stuff. And I wouldn't do it myself, but that's, I know people do it in worship. It'd be interesting to see. Peter, he endures their criticism, and he did it without flaunting his authority as an apostle. Peter gently and humbly described with great precision what had occurred between Cornelius and him. And he started from the very beginning, as we read for the third time what transpired. And Peter really has this question that is answered for him in a very specific way. And it's a question that we tend to ask ourselves quite often. How does God lead people? How should I know whether to go this way or that way? How do I know the will of God? For Peter, the answers became clear, and that's because he started off by doing this thing called praying. And this is seemingly a redundant statement, but prayer is important, and prayer is the starting point when it comes to matters of knowing God's will in our lives. Peter was not just sitting up on top of the roof on the deck bathing, and some notion popped into his head. He wasn't thinking to himself, oh boy, how can I be criticized by my Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ? Oh, I know, I'll go hang out with some Gentiles, invite them into our church. That just sounds insane. Nobody wants to have people come down on them or be critical of the actions that they're doing. He didn't go to the rooftop to nap or sunbathe. He was praying. He was seeking the will of God. How often do we wake up in the morning or take time aside in the afternoon or evening or while we wait for a meal like Peter did, and we pray and we seek out God's guidance in our life for that moment? How often is that the cry of our hearts? How often are we sitting in our chairs here at church and just saying, God, where do you want to lead me this morning? What do you want to do with my life? What do you want to do with me throughout this day? What do you want to do with me throughout this week, even? This is what Peter was doing as he fell into his trance. In Acts 11:5, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. Donald Gray Barnhouse, he writes about how to know the will of God, and you can really do with it what you will. I think there's some good wisdom in it. He starts off by saying, first, you need to be willing to do the will of God before you even know what it is. That's a tough one. To just say, yeah, God, I'm willing to do whatever, regardless of what you're going to send me to do. And then next, God speaks through Scripture. And God is never contrary to his word. So we need to remember that. And next, we need to look to God on a regular basis. This means daily, hourly, minute by minute. And he says that Peter displays this in his response to God on that roof in Joppa. Because it's on that roof in Joppa that Peter receives a revelation, a vision from God. And we read that again, and we read that again in Acts chapter 11, verses 5 to 10, just as we did in Acts chapter 10. And Peter had this revelation from God about food, and you have to think, Peter would also be reminded of the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus has this discussion about food, and he says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. At the time of hearing this, Peter was shocked. But as the vision unraveled to Peter, he had to remember Jesus' words and about the food. God is in the business of purifying heart. He's not in the business of people's dishes. This vision was greater than that, of course, as God was letting Peter know that all whom God was calling to faith in Jesus were purified and made clean by the blood of Jesus, by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The way that Peter and the church approached all people had to change. This means that they all could go to Swish LA after church. Is that even a thing that happens anymore? I don't know. When I was growing up in church, I was always like, hey, let's go to Swish LA afterwards, and we went. It was just a thing. I don't know. I go home and have like grilled cheese sandwiches now. But Jew or Gentile, both are made clean because of the work of Christ, and it is something that is offered to all people. This is a huge revelation. It's a church-changing, missional-changing, and personal-changing vision that Peter receives. It impacts the world greatly. And we need to get on board with his vision. Peter's vision to change the church because God directed him in this way. And God, he still gives us revelations today. It's more of kind of a personal thing usually. It's not church changing, like we're changing doctrinal stuff. It's a personal one. It's ones on how we can reach out to our community, how we can reach out to our neighbors and stuff. I actually had a dream that changed the trajectory of my life from a business person or computer programmer to a pastor. A vision or revelation occurs, and it actually, we need to be taking it against God's words and seeing if it matches up. Seeing if it has truth connected to it. Similar to Peter, God's word should be our guidance at all times, regardless of whether we've had a vision or not. Because it is God's revelation to us. Do you want to know how to speak to someone about Jesus? You don't need to wait for a vision. The Bible gives us examples on how to do so. You want to know how to pray? You don't need a vision. The Bible gives us examples on how to pray. You see, when we open our hearts to God, when we pray for his leading and then study his word, God takes his word, the Bible, and applies it to our situation. One thing I find quite powerful in Peter's retelling of the events with Cornelius is that we read that the Gentiles were ready, willing, and waiting to hear the gospel message. Verses 13 to 14 of Acts 11 says this: he told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. Just to let you know, this does not mean that if Peter had not received a warm reception, that he would not have been directed by God to reach out to Cornelius. Lack of immediate success is not an indication that a person has taken a wrong step in pursuing God's will. Hopefully, we've kind of all learned that lesson already. Sometimes God leads us into difficult situations, and that truly stinks. But it's true. Missionaries around the world, you can hear stories about them spending years teaching and preaching to people that they love with all of their hearts. And yet in those years, don't see any conversions or people want to pursue Jesus. And obviously, as we turn to Scripture, it feels a lot better when you receive like Peter was by Cornelius and his household. But that is just, it's just an amazing thing that occurs there. Most of the time, we actually read of hardships that occur beforehand when taking the message to somebody else. We read it with Paul. We read it here with Peter. As Peter, at the start of Acts, he endured intense things. He was imprisoned. He was beaten for preaching. And even though all this happened, Peter was still doing God's will. When it feels like you're getting kicked to the ground over and over again, that doesn't mean that you're not in God's will. Because God, he ends up using you in moments as God ended up even blessing Peter at this time. As Peter was preaching to people that really shouldn't have received him warmly, but did anyways. And Cornelius and his household heard his message and they believed. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon them just as the apostles at the beginning of Acts. Peter tells us this. Can you imagine? That means that there's probably the sound of a loud wind, the roaring thunder. Tongues like fire. And we read that the Gentiles, they were speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit filled them in Acts chapter 10, verse 46. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God, it says. Peter presents this to the circumcised believers, and at that moment, not a single person objected to what he was saying. They didn't carry on about how these Gentiles did not fit the Christian mold because they weren't circumcised. That is, initially. The old school members of this early church, they were able to embrace the new direction of the church. They were able to accept these Gentiles as they were. It was only for a time. We need to learn to be a church that loves people. We need to learn this lesson that is learned here in Acts. Not that we're bad at it, but just be reminded about loving one another and giving grace to one another. Because we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different faith journeys to get to the place that we're at today. Peter allowed the words of Jesus to transform him as a work was done in Peter. He had the same legalistic attitude. But Jesus changed him. And the words of Jesus, it led to a fellowship that now brought Jews and Gentiles together. They came together. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 reads this. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. The Jews of the church, they understood what happened to Peter. As they see what happened to Peter was actually because of God. This meant massive changes for the church, for their life, and for their standing in Jewish society. Even though it was changes that they would not have agreed with, they still came together and praised God. There's no way that this early church would have wanted to include Gentiles in their mix. Not unless they converted first. But they wanted to follow the will of God. They knew that God wanted this. We see that where God is working, that God needs to be praised. And like I said, the sad part about this all is that the early church would again show its imperfections a few chapters later. A group of Jewish Christians would reject this position, as in Acts chapter 15. And I summarize exactly what they would probably be saying. We must not allow the Gentiles to ignore the law of Moses. If we let down our barriers in this way, then one day soon everyone will be acting like the Gentiles, and we all know how those Gentiles act. We have to preserve the law of Moses and our traditions. We have to insist that the Gentiles be circumcised, come under the law of Moses, and then keep the regulations that have been kept for centuries. That happens in Acts chapter 15. That's a big oof. It's like they didn't listen to what Jesus was teaching. It's like they didn't even listen to what had happened to Peter in his vision. And this sadness would actually be a continual discussion in the early church, as we see that it occurs also in the church of Galatia as Paul writes to them. Prejudice dies hard. We need to learn from the early church, at least when they first received the Gentiles, a lesson of God's grace in the gospel. We shouldn't be a people that continually battle or have these cyclical arguments that seem to not stop, but instead show grace and love, a rebuke and correct in righteousness. Do you want to know why some people have a hard time with the church? Because we're so busy sometimes fighting with one another that we forget to extend grace and love. I'm glad that we all have our theologies and understanding of Jesus. They're all going to be different. God accepts them. God accepts you. God accepts the person sitting next to you, well, 6 feet away, or whatever it is right now. But you're accepted. The person sitting next to you is accepted. And I want us to be the church that continues to do that, because I think we're doing it well. Let's continue to do that, even when some interesting discussions are coming down our road here and such. So continue to pray with our leadership. Continue to pray for me, and I'll continue to pray for you. Close in prayer. And today, before I close in prayer, I just want to, we're going to redirect the exits. So I've already cleaned and wiped down the exits there, hence why I was like booking it from out there to come here after Kyle had finished. But we're going to redirect you to exit out the front doors again. We just feel that this may be a safer move for us all. Once that snow hits, that's going to become an ice patch there. So we just want to get in the habit of exiting out there now and wiping stuff down. So thank you so much for coming today and praying for y'all. Let me close in prayer, and then I've got a little benediction here for us. Father, we thank you for gathering today, and we just pray that you soften all of our hearts, as I know sometimes they can get hard for certain things, and that we're just soft-hearted people that seek out your guidance, your leading in our lives. Don't allow bits of crustiness to stick around, but instead remove it all. Let us be a church that loves one another with grace and with your love, Father. And let us be a church that loves our neighbors with grace and with your love. Uplift us in all you do. Give us energy and the will to carry it out. Let us act like Peter did, and when you guide us, Let us pursue where you guide us, even if you have to tell us 3 times. Allow us to receive any direction you send us on. We pray this in your name, Father. Amen. I'm going to close with a passage from Romans chapter 12. I really wanted to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to put you through that. I think it's got an excellent message. Paul writes this in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. What an excellent message to kind of depart on and strive to aim for our weeks. Have a great week and do the exiting safely thingy. And I love you all, and I'm praying for you. God bless.